Welcome to Water Online Radio, broadcasting live from Chicago, Illinois, and WEFTEC, the Water Quality Event. This show is brought to you by WaterOnline.com, enabling water and wastewater professionals to make informed decisions. WaterOnline.com. Now that's clear. And now, here are your hosts, Todd Schnick and Todd Youngblood.
Good morning. You're listening to Todd and Todd in Water Online Radio. Thanks for joining us. This is day two of Water Online's live coverage of WEFTEC. Todd, I recall this gentleman from last year. It was a scintillating conversation. I expect nothing less today.
Oh, I'll tell you, the pressure's on. It really was a fun conversation. You get insights from somebody that's got the depth of technical background that our guest has here is really, really interesting.
Well, you know, we learn so much at this show, and I always learn something from this fellow. So say hello to return guest. His name is John Mazook. He is a technical development manager with Solvay Chemicals. Welcome back, John.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Well, it's good to have you. Thanks for stopping by and joining us. John, before we get into it, take a quick second. Tell us a little bit about you and your background.
I'm a chemical engineer, and I work for Solvay Chemicals out of Houston, which is the North American headquarters. Solvay is an international company, and they make lots of different types of chemicals. With regards to peracetic acid, we're the largest producer of hydrogen peroxide, which is a major raw material. Peracetic acid is a combination of acetic acid and hydrogen peroxide, and that's why it's important that you be able to at least make one of them in order to make this product.
Well, I tell you, when I tell my friends back home that we talked about peracetic acid last year, and I'm going to tell them this year that I asked again about what's new and different with regard to the peracetic acid itself as well as how it's being applied.
I think that probably the newest thing about peracetic acid is that we're having less people ask us what it is, and they're asking us now how to use it and how to implement it.
That's a big deal.
That's important.
It's been a little bit of a long haul here, but you know, when you think about it, that's really what you have to do at first, because the name, you know, sometimes dumbfounds people and they have no clue what it is, and so. But now people are actually calling up and saying, "Gee, you know, I'd like to find out whether or not we can use peracetic acid in our application."
Well, I suspect they're asking the same question I'm about to ask you. I mean, what are the advantages that peracetic acid has over other disinfectants?
There's several. Peracetic acid is an organic acid, it's a liquid, it's clear, it has very much the similar viscosity and density as water. It has to be handled carefully, but the nice thing is that the byproducts of it are acetic acid and hydrogen peroxide. The hydrogen peroxide won't be stable very long under most of the conditions that it's used. It goes to water and oxygen. So the byproducts actually are not harmful at all.
Well, you talked a minute ago about applying the peracetic acid, and it's not maybe intuitively obvious how to do that. Talk about the process of using it effectively.
Because it's a liquid, in most cases you can actually use peracetic acid much like sodium hypochlorite is. In other words, it's usually hypo is stored in a tank. It's pumped into some type of mixer or dispersion device. And it is corrosive, just like sodium hypochlorite is. But we know how what materials and composition to use. And if it's stored properly, the stability of peracetic acid is over a year under most conditions. It has extremely low freezing point, which is unlike bleach, most of your merchant sodium hypochlorite. And under ambient conditions and even up over 120 degrees Fahrenheit, it's very, very stable, and its shelf life is much longer than sodium hypochlorite.
All right. If you're just tuning in, this is Water Online Radio Live, and we're speaking with John Mazook with Solvay Chemicals. John, I have to ask if there's been some recent trials at a municipal water plant that I'd share with us.
Yes. Recently, we've had several trials in a central part of the U.S., and these particular plants were using sodium hypochlorite with a dechlor step. That's one of the issues because of the chlorinated compounds. You want to try and get rid of that chlorine effect, that available chlorine, because you can form different types of chlorinated byproducts, which aren't any good. Where peracetic acid, you don't have that issue, and that's attractive to them. It also means that you only have one step, one injection, rather than two steps, a dechlor step along with the chlorination step. So with that, the plants that are using it have switched from using a chlorination-dechlorination process to parasitic acid, and we have several trials that are in the midst of going on, and we expect to have a couple more plants online within the next 4 or 5 months.
Well, what kind of cost impact do you expect coming out of that? I mean, it sounds like you're simplifying the process and making it shorter and smaller and simpler.
Well, for people that are using a bleach process, it really isn't a major cost differential. But when you compare it to other processes for disinfection, like UV, which is extremely capital intensive, it actually is quite economical, and it's certainly cost competitive with any of the disinfection processes.
I understand you're doing some work with the EPA. Curious to hear more about that.
Yeah, this is something I really enjoy doing. We worked up an agreement with the US EPA, and we're a corporate sponsor, mainly in-kind cost, meaning my time and stuff like that. But they're doing a side-by-side study, or will be. We're almost ready to fire it up until this government shutdown, unfortunately. where we'll be comparing sodium hypochlorite performance with PAA performance. We actually have a facility in Cincinnati that we'll be using, and we'll be running sodium hypochlorite, taking a slipstream, and if you can imagine, almost a model of a wastewater treatment plant as far as that secondary step. And then once we're comfortable that it's giving us the data that we should be getting coming out of the plant, then we'll switch it over to PAA. And then we'll be running it with PAA, and this will take effect at stormwater and normal changes that you expect in the water. We'll be analyzing it and seeing, okay, this is how PAA works under basically the same operating conditions, the same facility as a bleach process. The neat thing is that this isn't, Solvay's just sponsoring it. It's actually being vetted by somebody else, and especially somebody like the US EPA, which goes a long way. The other neat thing is that we've also had a couple equipment process controls people that are interested in what we're doing, and we're going to be using some of their equipment to see how it handles the PAA solutions, because you have to be sure that even though everybody thinks it works, you want to be sure that it's going to work, and we'll be able to run that online and show that technology, and we're looking forward to presenting that work next year. It's going to be, to me, it's really good stuff.
Yeah, so we're going to have them 3 years in a row, it sounds like. We're going to have to come back
like
and
it.
Hear the
Absolutely.
End of that story. John, I think I heard you talk about stormwater a minute ago. I mean, PAA being used in that application as well?
It's excellent for stormwater. Number one, because it is a liquid and you can inject it, and you don't have a dechlor step. If you're using bleach, you still have to dechlor. You just inject it and boom, it's gone.
Off you go.
And then the other thing is that it does disperse so rapidly. It's very soluble in the water, and because of its stability, you can have it in the tank, because stormwater controls, you know, it may not rain really bad for a couple of weeks, and then all of a sudden you need it. And where if the temperatures are warm or things like that, the actual available chlorine levels of your bleach might fluctuate, and where you think, you know, you have enough flow, you may not, or the PAA isn't going to have that trouble. And then with this other equipment, we'll be able to tell whether we're getting the kill that we expect, or you know, what the residual PAA is, which also helps you in the process control side.
Sure. Is Solvay Chemicals exhibiting here at WEFTEC?
Yes. Right around the corner.
Outstanding. So why do you do that? What's the value of the investment of time and resource to participate in an event like this, and what's Solvay Chemicals' goals and objectives here?
All right. One of the major things we'd like to do is present papers. We'd like to have the papers, and whenever possible, get the people from the actual facility that are running it present when we can. Sometimes you can't, sometimes you can't.
And it's a target-rich environment here.
And when you can give that information to everybody, they go, wow, that's really interesting. And they'll say, do you have a booth? Yeah. And then they can get a chance, because it's something you can't ask all the questions you want. Come to the booth, and then you can talk, and we have literature that we can give out and exchange business cards and things like that.
Outstanding.
Well, we've got you here. We've had you focused on PAA, which is such a cool story, is why we do it. Any other technical or commercial tidbits you got to share with us?
Yeah, one of the things that we did this year was we introduced a 15% parasitic acid product. In the United States, we had 12, but outside the United States, in Europe, it's typically a 15% material. We got it, the EPA label approved, just like we did for the 12 for as disinfectant, and we also have DOT approval, so it's not a problem shipping. And some places, the difference between a 12 and a 15, they may reduce the number of times they would say they were using totes, switch out a tote, maybe shorten some of the freight times, things like this. It's you would think that, gee, does it make that much of a difference? Well, if you think about it, it's about 30% difference.
Yeah, that's a
lot. And,
yeah.
And for some of the smaller facilities, that they could make it through the week and in over the weekend and then switch the tote out rather than have to have somebody come in the weekend and switch the tote.
John, I hate to say it, but we're about out of time. Before we let you go, how can people get in touch with you, and where can they learn more about Solvay Chemicals?
As I said, I work in Houston. You can get in touch with me there. My phone number, 713-525-6815. And then I have an email address, John, J-O-H-N, dot Mazook. I'm sure everybody knows how to spell that. And I'll go through my little rhyme. It's M as in Mike, A, Z as in Zebra, I-U-K, at Solvay, S-O-L-V as in Victor, A-Y, .com.
How many times have you given that out like that?
A thousand times. When I was in college, they would read the roll, and the guy would stop at M because I'm M-A, and I just raise my hand. Mazook.
I'm here.
I'm here. Present. John Mazook, Technical Development Manager with Solvay Chemicals. John, as always, sir, it's good to see you. Thanks for stopping by.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Well, that wraps this segment. On behalf of our guest, John Mazook, my co-host, Todd Youngblood, and all of us at Water Online, I'm Todd Schnick. Stick around for another exciting conversation. Water Online Radio. We'll be right back.